and they come to some sort of interim solution that delays folks, but the lender wants something in return. And the lender, in a lot of these cases, says, "Hey, look, okay, I'll take some sort of equity ownership, or I'll take some sort of status as a member or partner in your venture. Maybe I'll be a limited partner, but I'll have a veto right on certain major decisions. And one of those major decisions is bankruptcy." And so, in this Lake Michigan Beach case, in the workout context, they amended the operating agreement. The lender became a special member. There was no actual economic interest. They didn't have any right to receive distributions from the LLC. But they also disclaimed that they had any fiduciary duties to take anyone's interest into account other than their own in exercising their member voting rights. And the court said, you know what, that's an invalid bankruptcy waiver. I think the case was actually wrongly decided because the court based it on the waiver of fiduciary duties. And if you don't have a fiduciary duty, you shouldn't be allowed to be in that position. Because the fiduciary duty waiver was actually invalid under Michigan law, I don't think the court actually had to reach the point of saying that the voting right was itself invalid. But that's what happened in the case. A couple of months later, there was another case, bankruptcy court decision in Delaware, Intervention Energy Holdings. Again, the debtor defaulted. Instead of creating a special member category, they gave the creditor a single unit, what in these types of cases is called a golden share. Essentially, one unit out of 22 million and one in the company, no real economic value to that unit, but that one golden share, golden ticket, if you will, going back to Willy Wonka, that one golden ticket allows the creditor to say, no, you can't file for bankruptcy because there was a unanimity vote requirement. And there may have been a disclaimer statutory fiduciary duties there, that new voting member. That's okay in Delaware because Delaware is very clear that you can waive fiduciary duties. You can eliminate fiduciary duties entirely. And again, the court said, we're not going to allow this golden share arrangement to defeat the ability to file for bankruptcy. I think what bothers me in this case and the other case, I understand that result because the economic realities of the situation were that the lender didn't really have an economic interest in the company. I think it just bothers me that people are allowed to enter into these contracts to get benefit out of the workout negotiation and not even attempt to follow the agreed upon process. In most of these cases, they don't even go through the steps of trying to get consent and then filing when they fail to get consent. They just ignore the contractual voting provision and file for bankruptcy and say, judge, we shouldn't have to follow that at all. So where does this leave us? I think if you're interested in representing a lender, representing a borrower, in trying to structure a workout where maybe you are creating some additional rights that the lender has, you ought to be looking at four primary things as you draft. The nature of the creditor's equity or voting interest. Is it real or is it illusory? If it's not a real interest, then maybe it's not something the court is going to enforce. You ought to ask whether the voting rules are singling out bankruptcy. Is this a veto right just on filing bankruptcy, or is it veto right on other major decisions that realistically could have arisen so that you can say, look, you know, this is actually saying, these rules are actually saying that the lender ought to be able to participate in all major decisions of the company, not just the bankruptcy filing decision. Can they approve mergers or disapprove mergers? Can they veto the sale of assets? You know, are there other things that the creditor was given a right to do that realistically are a fair part of a workout situation? And if you're not singling out bankruptcy at the margin, maybe you've got a better chance of getting your provision enforced. Are there inadequate fiduciary duties or waived fiduciary duties for the person to whom you've given these additional approval or voting rights? Have you put the creditor in a situation where they can do something that is going to hurt the company and prevent other creditors from realizing some benefit, some return on their indebtedness And courts, I think, have focused maybe a little bit too much on this. I think they haven't talked about, well, the lender still has lender liability risk, and therefore the lender really isn't completely free of fiduciary duties. Or maybe you're in a jurisdiction where you're talking about, you know, duties that everybody has to creditors in something called the zone of insolvency. There are a lot of different arguments that can be made here. Certainly a naked waiver of fiduciary duties that says the creditor has no obligation to consider anyone except the creditor is likely to be looked at askance by a court. And then finally, when was the creditor granted these rights? You know, there were some commentators when these cases came out who said, oh, this is worse because these rights were negotiated at the time of the workout. I actually think that's the wrong way to look at it. I think that's exactly the time that these things should be more enforceable. If you look at Article 9 of the UCC, the only time waivers of certain Article 9 rights are enforceable is when they're entered into at the time of some sort of forbearance. And so the timing of, you know, because that's when the debtor probably has the most leverage. The debtor can say, if you don't grant me forbearance, I'm going to go into bankruptcy tomorrow. And the creditor is saying, well, wait a minute, let's work this out. And so I think, you know, that's when there can be a knowing and voluntary waiver, which is usually the test for whether we enforce waivers. And so I actually think the timing should actually favor a provision like this that is entered into in the context of a workout, as opposed to one that might have been buried in boilerplate in the original lender agreement.